And now a story that feels not a moment too soon, given the news. In July, New York became the first state to require that every public school have a form of mental health education. The law was passed in 2015, and it's being enacted as suicide rates for kids and teens soar. In fact, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, suicide became the second leading cause of death for young Americans in 2016, behind car accidents. Glenn Liebman is CEO of the Mental Health Association in New York State, a group that's pushed for this law for years. Glenn, tell us why.
We wanted it to be basically a basic understanding about mental health, signs and symptoms, and to know you have supports in the community.
Well, so what are some of the concrete things? I mean, talking about the fact that it's real and shouldn't be a stigma, and it's as much a disease, I guess, as, you know, diabetes, that's great for awareness. But then where does it go from there?
When we did get the legislation passed, one thing we did not advocate for was a specific curriculum, because what you teach in the Bronx might be a little different than what you're teaching in upstate New York. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, each district could determine what they perceive as their best sort of lesson plans and best curriculums to put forward.
How would that be different? And for our national audience, you know, the Bronx is very urban, upstate New York, very rural. How might it be different?
Well, I think that the understanding and the socialization and things like that are a little different in a rural area, suburban area, in a city. Not that there's greater understanding in one part of the state versus another part of the state, but just a sort of an overall cultural piece and just a greater, you know, knowledge about mental health in general.
Well, I'm thinking that Long Island, very suburban Long Island, may have more of an acceptance of the idea of therapy and mental health being on the table than, let's say, a small town. And I'm not going to pick out one, you know, but a small town in upstate New York where it may not be as widely used.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there are cultural differences, too. There's, depending on the culture, there are cultures that are very accepting about talking about mental health more openly than other cultures are talking about it more openly. So that also has to take into place, too. And also school history. Some schools, again, have rolled out mental health curriculums in the past. And so we don't want to transpose our piece over what they're already teaching. But what we did do in response is we were able to create a resource center, a school mental health resource center, where we were able to have a group of experts, mental health and education experts, meet through the State Department of Education to develop what we regard as sort of, you know, best practice lesson plans. So people can go to our website and look and see that there are lesson plans out there dedicated to elementary school, to middle school, and to high schools.
You've got teacher trainings there and other tools, so we'll link people at herenow.org. But give us an example. Like, let's say you decided to implement this in grade school. What might a specific part of a curriculum be? And then what might one be in 11th grade?
Sure. Well, a lot of what you're talking about in elementary school, especially early on, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, it's just about things like feelings. Talk about sadness and happiness and just general kind of sense of a basic knowledge. You know, obviously, we don't want to bring in topics that are too heavy by any means, especially at a very early age.
But this idea of talking about feelings, developing an emotional awareness so that when trouble comes as the teen years approach, maybe somebody's got the tools to deal with it.
And it's exactly what we try to do, is create a progression, recognizing that, okay, we're building sort of like the structure now for an individual to have that emotional intelligence, to have that basic understanding. So when they are older and facing, you know, more challenges in terms of their mental health, that they are better able to deal with that. So it's almost like really building in a progression.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, has all sorts of stats. One of them is that one in five young people live with a mental health condition in the U.S., but less than half get treatment. Mm-hmm. So this might also funnel people to real treatment as opposed to education. But as you know, there's opposition. There are teachers who don't feel comfortable with these subjects with kids, teachers who feel that it should be the parents who handle something like this, or a therapist.
I think what we say in response to that, and look, it's a very, very legitimate issue, and we are really emphasizing that there should be an inclusion of families in this discussion as much as possible. again, we don't want psychology 101. We don't want teachers to go and talk about here's the different diagnoses or anything like that. We just want teachers to be able to go in and give a basic knowledge about mental health. Yeah. And maybe, again, to your point, what you were saying, and talk about the things that we already know. Talk about stigma. Talk about things like the connection between physical and mental health issues. And we hope that as more and more of these discussions are going on and people are realizing, educators, families, that, you know, this is just a normalization of a condition, that hopefully people be much more open about talking about it.
That's Glenn Libman. He's the CEO of the nonprofit Mental Health Association of New York State, one of the groups that advocated for the new law there that's just gone into effect, requiring all public schools to have some form of mental health education. Glenn, thanks so much.
Sure. I really appreciate it, Robin.